Title: Buying Russian Bonds, Risky Business or Safe Bet? Content: In late May, the Russian Federation issued its first sovereign bond since the Ukraine crisis in 2014. The sole organizer of the bond is VTB Capital, an arm of VTB Bank, Russia's second-largest financial institution. Both VTB Capital and VTB Bank are subject to sectoral sanctions. According to published reports, the 10-year bond is being offered at yields of 4.65 to 4.9%. Russia's goal was to raise $3 billion to help with its budget deficit caused by weak oil prices. Reportedly, the bond generated $7 billion of demand, though the Russian finance ministry announced only $1.75 billion in sales. Foreign investors constituted more than 70% of the bond purchasers. According to media reports, large global banks declined to participate, partly due to sanctions compliance risks. But as we will see, the compliance risks aren't very clear. We will examine the exact risks and evaluate the question of why banks might be overcomplying. Background: In response to Russia's annexation of Crimea and its use of force in Ukraine, the U.S. government imposed targeted sanctions against Russia's financial and energy sectors, among other sanctions. The sectoral sanctions are unique because two elements are required to constitute a prohibited transaction: 1. Prohibited transaction type plus 2. Designation. Under Directive 1 of the sectoral sanctions, issued in 2014, U.S. persons are prohibited from transacting in, providing financing for, or otherwise dealing in new debt with a maturity of longer than 30 days or new equity with entities on the Sectoral Sanctions Identifications (SSI) list. All other transactions with SSI entities are permitted. The SSI list under Directive 1 primarily consists of Russian banks, including VTB Bank. Thus, U.S. persons are prohibited from transaction in, dealing in new debt of longer than 30 days or new equity with VTB Capital. Guidance from the U.S. Department of Treasury, Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC, is clear that the sectoral sanctions do not require U.S. persons to block the property or interests in property of the entities identified in the directives, nor will persons identified in Directives 1 and 2 be added to the Specially Designated Nationals, SDN, list. Further, OFAC guidance has clarified that purchasing new debt is permitted in which the SSI entity is not the borrower. OFAC's Frequently Asked Questions, FAQ 405, states, does the prohibition on otherwise dealing in new debt of longer than 30 days maturity for persons subject to Directives 1 and 3, or 90 days for persons subject to Directive 2, of SSI entities, their property, or their interests in property prohibit dealing in debt with maturity that exceeds the applicable authorized tenor in which the SSI entity is not directly or indirectly the borrower? Directives 1 and 3 prohibit U.S. persons from dealing in debt of longer than 30 days maturity, and Directive 2 prohibits U.S. persons from dealing in debt of longer than 90 days maturity issued on or after the sanctions effective date in cases where the new debt is issued by an SSI entity subject to these directives. Directives 1, 2, and 3 do not prohibit U.S. persons from dealing with an SSI entity as counterparty to transactions involving debt issued on or after the sanctions effective date by a non-sanctioned party. For example, U.S. persons are not prohibited from dealing in a loan exceeding the applicable authorized tenor that is issued after the sanctions effective date of sanctions provided by an SSI entity to a non-sanctioned third party, dealing with an SSI entity who is the underwriter on new debt of a non-sanctioned third party exceeding the applicable authorized tenor, or accepting payment under a letter of credit with terms exceeding the applicable authorized tenor that is issued, advised, or confirmed by an SSI entity, so long as the SSI entity is not the borrower. September 12, 2014, as a sovereign borrower, Russia is not a sanctioned entity. But according to many media reports, large U.S. and non-U.S. banks have declined to participate in the Russian bond offering, citing compliance risks. In February and March of this year, some reports suggested that officials at the State Department and Department of Treasury cautioned banks against participating in any bond sale, that helping finance Russia would be counter to U.S. foreign policy and the objectives of the sanctions. But does it make sense for the EU?